Hello, this is Charles Shepard of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, bringing you another chapter of American Stories, the behind-the-scenes look into America's history of art and culture. Today's story is about Dwayne Hansen, the pop artist who became famous for creating life-size, super-realistic sculptures of ordinary people that were often taken for live people going about their normal day. Dwayne grew up in the 30s in Parker's Prairie, Minnesota, a town so small that the library had only one book about art, and he borrowed it as often as he could. He drew versions of the figures in that slim book for hours on end, and when he got his first penknife, he tried carving his mother's old broomstick ends into miniature representations of his favorites. In 1941, Dwayne went on a senior class trip to Minneapolis, where he visited an art museum for the very first time. He was so overwhelmed by the experience of seeing this much art in person that he almost missed the bus back home. After graduation, his parents sent him off to McAllister College, where he was introduced to all the dominant artistic trends of the period, which included Cubism, Expressionism, other abstract styles that were the rage. Dwayne kept an open mind, but he was most interested in realism and the human figure, which made him something of an odd duck in his art classes. Undaunted, Dwayne pushed on and enrolled in graduate school at the Progressive Cranbrook Academy after finishing at McAllister. He was a good student, but his interest in realism kept him far from the art world fast track. After receiving his MFA, he accepted an appointment to teach at a conservative college in Atlanta. As a new professor, Dwayne busied himself with teaching and producing the occasional decorative sculpture for the campus. His breakthrough came from a chance encounter at lunch one fall day. In line at the student union, Dwayne overheard two chemistry professors in front of him discussing their research with fiberglass casting for the boat industry. It struck him immediately that he might be able to adapt this commercial process to his own sculptural use. What if he could cast the human figure in this new material? Bubbling with enthusiasm, Dwayne introduced himself to the two chemists right there in line and told them the idea that had just popped into his mind. Never been tried before, they told him, but certainly not impossible with further research. They suggested that he seek a cross-departmental grant to support exploring the potential uses of plastic in the fine arts. Dwayne agreed to do all the paperwork, and in the fall of 1966, the team received a grant from the Ella Lyman Cabot Trust to develop Dwayne's work with life-size polyester resin and fiberglass sculpture. And by early 1967, Dwayne was casting sculptures depicting ordinary people going about their daily life activities, such as mowing lawns, sitting at tables, shopping, playing games, etc. These lifelike sculptures, which Dwayne painted and embellished with accessories such as hair and clothes, a variety of props, attracted attention well beyond the college campus. After seeing a postcard for an exhibit of Dwayne's new castings, the famous New York art dealer Ivan Karp was wowed and convinced Dwayne to quit his teaching post and move to Manhattan, where Karp was creating a new gallery devoted to contemporary realism. Almost overnight, Dwayne was his star and known the world over for his ultra-realistic sculpture. Dwayne was dizzy with joy. All through school, I was told that I had to be modern. Then along came Lichtenstein's Popeye, Warhol's soup cans, and Oldenburg's vinyl hamburgers, and everything changed. When Pop made realism legitimate again, I knew my work had a chance. Dwayne looked for models who were archetypes of humanity, each representative of a certain situation in life. His goal was that his work would be a comment on the contemporary human condition. The realism of Dwayne's everyday people, bag ladies, custodians, tourists, delivery men and such, caused a great deal of confusion for viewers because they were just too believable. Countless people stopped to chat with his average Americans before they even realized they were sculptures. Critical acclaim and popularity of Dwayne's work continued to increase, gaining him national and international recognition. More than just a sculptor, Dwayne Hansen was a keen observer of life, and his life's work was devoted to paying homage to common humanity. Thank you for joining me, Charles Shepard, for this week's program. Please join me again next week for another episode of American Stories on NIPR.